Blog Talk Radio. God, yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode, the very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, and I welcome you to the show. Yes, indeed, I welcome you to the show, and that I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that for His cause I have some very important things for Him that I must do. And He told me that because of what I must do, He said to me that I would cruise some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. But Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, yes, if they could, to destroy. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that taking into consideration what is written, for instance, in Psalms, second Psalm, Psalm 14, Psalms 53. Why do the nations rage and the peoples imagine vain things? No peace. No peace. Why do the nations rage? Contentious of warfare one against another. Why do the nations rage and the peoples imagine vain things? No solution. Continual havoc we see raging upon this planet. Scriptures tell us in Psalms 2 is because the kings of the earth have taken counsel. I said have taken counsel together, conspired together against the Most High and against His anointed. Read those scriptures closely and we find out that the anointed one must perform a very special service. Because the kings of the earth have sought to cast aside the knowledge of the way of peace, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says the kings of the earth would do what? That they would say, let us cast aside the bonds, their yoke. That's what they call it. Of being subject to even the creator of heaven and earth. Cast aside the bonds, they said, seeking to be wildly reprobate and undisciplined. And without discipline, my brothers and sisters, the rulers of the earth, walking after their own selfish ambitions, having nothing, I said nothing, wherewith they might be governed unto one conscience. My brothers and sisters, because of this, men born under territorial constraints, I said territorial constraints of the rulers, forgetting, according to what is written in Psalm 24, the earth belongs to Yah, all of it. Earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. That because men, my brothers and sisters, I said because men have sought to split up this world, in antagonism against the rule of the One Most High, forgetting that Most High did not create this world to be subdivided after a multitude of misruling entities, against the sovereignty and the honor and glory that belongs to him. Yes, what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, that this earth was created to give glory unto Yah. The Most High said he created man and gave him dominion. Do you really believe that dominion was against himself? Man seeking to call himself wise against the ruler of the Creator. Only got himself kicked out of paradise, my brothers and sisters. Bound to a misruling entity that has only desired havoc, chaos, warfare in this world ever since. There's a need to understand what the scriptures mean when in Isaiah 40, it talks about the one who will bring the peace. Scripture says in Isaiah 45, comfort ye, repent ye then. Same word. Nachem, Hebrew, metanoia, Greek. But how shall men repent, my brothers and sisters, unto what indeed is peace? Lest men discern again what is a pure, perfect standard. It is the gospel. I hear many say repent, but repent unto what? The variant standards of men that will only result in man still without a solution. Contentious, every man against his brother, and the folly of his false pride. Scripture tells about this true Messiah, my brothers and sisters, to prove all the designs after men's flesh. Be like the grass that withers and the flower that fades when the rebuke of the Most High, his spirit blows upon it. Scripture says, repent ye, O my people. Comfort ye, O my people. The comforter is the Holy Spirit by which the gospel of peace went forth. Commanded that all transcend the contentions of their various rulers. I said that all transcend, be converted beyond all the fruitlessly vain misrule of their variant rulers. That all who call upon the name of the Most High will all call upon his name in truth after one consent. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, in this day, in this era, this very critical juncture in human history. There's a serious need, my brothers and sisters, that men discern again. What is the plan of the Most High whereby he will bring an end to this present age of confusion, Babylon? Some scripture calls it the times of the Gentiles, the many nations, unreasoning and warfare against the will of Yah. Think about it. You have a multitude of nations contentious against one another. How do men believe then that they have been true unto Yah? It's impossible. Well, how prophecy, my brothers and sisters, relate that, according like, for instance, Psalms 2, Messiah will come forth because the Most High will mock against all these rulers who have conspired against him and say that he has set his king upon Zion as his holy mountain. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, since he gave first his covenant to Israel and made a covenant with Abraham that his seed Israel will be a blessing to all nations, it means, my brothers and sisters, that the yoke of bondage to all the variant miscreant standards of this world, political, social, cultural, national, religious, that in their diversity and stood against the will of one. Bondage to these all shall be broken. Most High sets one king. Yes, my brothers and sisters, one king to give righteous rule and justice. The way, therefore, of peace. A pure and perfect word. Offering one choice. unto all the nations. Messiah will come forth in that day, according to Psalm 2, saying, the Most High has spoken unto me, saying, You are my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen, all the nations for your inheritance. And the scripture says that he will smite the nations with a rod of iron. Strong discipline. The absolution and discipline of the Most High. And prophecies relate again and again that those who love the truth shall he comfort with the rod of his discipline to guide them to the way of peace. For those who are resistant, that same rod shall break them like the breaking of an unclean potter's vessel that can only be infectious unto the destruction, contamination of many. So the scripture says to the rulers, be wise therefore, O kings, be instructed. How about constructed according to all those things that Yah has commanded and the nations have chosen to ignore? Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, O judges of the earth. Have they judged wisely, rightly, fairly, justly, righteously? Have they given consideration to all the Most High has spoken? Or have they, because they refused to discern the Most High has commanded all who will call upon his name to seek the fullness of his will? He said, go forth and convert the nations. Hear, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand. Evil, there's no such thing as a pure evil. Evil is deviation from a perfect state. And men, self-righteous in their partialities, wishing to call themselves wise, not giving consideration to all the Most High has spoken, have contended for ages one against another. Each one calling himself wise, and each one, for whatever reason, choosing not to rightly discern the fullness of all the Most High has spoken. The end result of this has been nothing but warfare. But my brothers and sisters, scriptures speak of one that must come, that all this warfare, all this contention wrought because men have given their allegiances. I said because men have given their allegiances to the contentious misrule of others. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they've given their allegiance to false rulers, teaching fallen standards. Such is the nature of the fall. Look at that word, falsehood. Fallen. Foolish. Deceptive. Same thing as insufficient. Not enough, my brothers and sisters, because if all discern purely and perfectly the will of the One Most High, and all agree, therefore, all because all have common consensus with regard to the truth, there could be no arguments among men, my brothers and sisters, but all who would reason would have to be one. Well, that's the reason why the scripture says, come, let us reason together. If you hearken and obey, scripture says, you shall eat of the good of the land. You should be blessed. Even the land shall bless you. But it says, if you disobey, if you rebel, it said, you be delivered to the sword, the mouth the Most High has spoken. Hear, my brothers and sisters, the sword of which the scriptures speak is a pure and perfect word that discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart as to whether or not men will follow Yah or not, for he is all, everything that he is. He does not deny himself. He will not be destabilized by any of the fallen standards of men. He's too wise, my brothers and sisters, in that truth does not deny truth. Wisdom does not deny wisdom. He is his word eternal. Light does not deny light. Therefore, we must consider what those scriptures are saying. When we read, for instance, at Zechariah 13, "Awake, O sword, against those who men call his shepherds. Smite the shepherds, and their flocks shall be scattered. Now turn my hands against the great ones." What does it mean, my brothers and sisters? Wherever it is, men have not sought the pure and perfect word, as the scriptures describe the sword of Yah, the discerning word of Yah. As men should discern who serves Yah and who serves him not. Revelation 3:1-6, he says, "Go back, nay, I have not found your works perfect, complete in all things, not considerate of all things for the Most High." And these are the words of Messiah. He says, because of this, if you will not repent, go back and do the first works. What he commanded the people from the beginning, seeking the perfect will of Yah. According to that spirit that teaches all things and brings all things to remembrance. He said, "I'll come against you with the sword of my mouth, and you shall not know it. I'll come against you as a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, and you shall not know at what hour I shall come upon you." What does these scriptures mean, my brothers and sisters? There's a truth contained in the scriptures that only those who are willing to seek the scriptures through and through, Genesis to Revelation, all that the Most High has spoken. I said, oh, only they, my brothers and sisters, will fully discern and be rightly prepared. He says, "Therefore, be wise, O king, be instructed, O judges of the earth." Psalms 2. "Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from his way, while his wrath is kindled but a little." I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that many being predisposed to just simply follow the status quo. And the scriptures told us in advance the status quo is hypocritically, in so many ways, compromised, having not sought to reveal the light, but to maintain so much darkness, lack of consideration of the truth. In fact, my brothers and sisters, if all the prophecies say when Messiah comes, because of this, hypocrisy, that all the false religiosity of this world will fall, all the counterfeitery of misrepresentative false religion in this world will fall, when the true word appears. Scriptures talk about how all the cities and nations of this earth will fall when all realize that what they have trusted. I say when all realize that what they have trusted has been misrepresentation. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. All the prophecies said in advance when Messiah appears, it is because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the conscience, the righteousness of Yah. Men have been beguiled, my brothers and sisters. The whole world is divided today because men are subject to somebody's unrighteous, deceitful standard. Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the conscience, the righteousness, the collective word of the gospel, where he said, "Go forth and teach all nations everything he declared." That means teach all people that they must learn the truth concerning all things, they be converted. From what? How about all the partial standards that divide men? And my brothers and sisters, it is the recollection of the fullness of what the Most High has decreed. The scripture talking about the time of Acts 3:18-23, the restitution, restoration, refreshing of all things. In that day, my brothers and sisters, when all that the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his prophets, as the world began, is restored, that it shall be, my brothers and sisters, whoever will not hearken to that cumulative word, the scripture says they should be cut off from among the people. Why? Because they refused the covenant. Covenant, my brothers and sisters, was never unto a multitude of partial and perverse standards. How can a multitude of partial and perverse contentious standards ever be unto peace? Most High calls whatever does not bring peace to him the vanity of man. All prophecy relates that falsehood will fall at the hand of truth and righteousness. How is it possible, my brothers and sisters, that the intermingling of the two, some have said, was wise? Think about it. I can think about so much scripture that's contained in the Bible that many say is unimportant simply because they confess the name of the Most High. Oh, in other words, what they're saying in so many ways is that men just taking the name on the Most High, coming up with whatever they will, slapping his name upon their ideas makes them somehow godly in a world where men are grossly indiscriminate. My brothers and sisters, the Most High knows the difference between that which he has decreed and that which this world has established as a counterfeit. We must know this, and we must discern, my brothers and sisters, that only that which the Most High himself has decreed is viable. I can only tell you, before we even go any further, it's important that we understand this. The book of Revelation, there is a reason why the scriptures say to us, it speaks about the one called the King of the East, before whom the rivers will be dried up. How about all the constraints of the nations proven foolish? That Messiah calls himself, when that scripture is related, it says, the rivers were dried up, and the waters thereof were dried up, the way of the King of the East might be prepared. And Messiah said, therefore, in context of this, behold, I come, saying that he is that one called the King of the East. He is that one that's related in Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4. That one that is mentioned again in Isaiah 41, 25. And the scriptures go on in Isaiah 42, saying that he shall not fail nor be discouraged, because he is the voice of the Most High, and he shall truly bring forth justice to all the nations. That one the scripture calls a righteous one likened to the rising sun, that because the Most High has raised him up as the one for whom the world should be waiting. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because he ends the confusion of this earth. He is the one called Shashan Shah, Shiloh, King of the East. The one that the scriptures relate of old, way back in Genesis 49. The one out of Judah that the prophecies speak of, that will bring peace as a lawgiver to the world. The one unto whom it belongs. Remember, Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything. The word for peace relates completion. He said, all power, authority from on high has been given unto him. How about the word Shiloh means he unto whom it belongs, the one who brings peace. About the gospel. Scriptures relate, my brothers and sisters, unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be. I can only tell you, Messiah said he is the one called the good and offspring of David, the bright morning star that, as mentioned, the one morning star of the sun and its rising, the righteous one likened to the rising sun that casts out the darkness, that reveals the light the world would obscure. Please examine Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4. Malachi 3:18 through 4:2, the Son of Righteousness that arises. Revelation 7:2, related to one is called an angel, wherefore angel is also king, rising in the sun, who has the seal, the confirming seal of the Most High. In other words, he has the word of a covenant that only those who are true to it, that covenant, that full covenant in its fullness, shall be sealed, confirmed, signed, sealed, if you will, delivered. Worthy to be called by the name of Yah, even worthy to be called Israel. Revelation 7 says they will have the name of the Father. They will be called Israel. They will have the name of the Father written upon their brows. So much prophecy relates to that one, my brothers and sisters. Many have not understood, but Isaiah 49 relates that one, saying that he will one day come forth to a people who have sworn by his name, not in truth nor in righteousness. That means they have worshipped a false concept of deity. He says, he will come forth saying, Listen to me, O you isles. Hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High is coming from the womb, from the body of my mother, as he made mention of my name, to bring Israel back to him. Be his salvation to the ends of the earth. His memory mouth like a sharp sword to reveal his glory. How many of my brothers and sisters understand what those prophecies collectively speak of, understanding that such scriptures as those in Matthew 24 have actually been a chronology? Messiah basically said that in the first centuries, after the fall of Jerusalem, reading Matthew 24, after the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, if you will, he said there'd be great tribulation. He didn't want to place that to the latter days. He said there'd be great tribulation, but those days of murderous days of tribulation would be brought to an end, would be shortened, at least material, physically. However, we understand there were still many destroyed, but not at the rate of the millions that were destroyed in those first four centuries. He did not say that those days would be shortened in the appearance of the Messiah, but that those days would be shortened. Because of a rise of false prophets. Because they murdered those who knew the truth. And the end result is men teaching lies. False testimony. False church. Would take the world into bondage. Well, scriptures tell us in the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter that false system that was murderous against the saints to make war with the saints to overcome them, that had been wounded by a sword of truth, yes, the word of the gospel. The scripture says that system that would go forth murderous against the saints, Messiah told him, you'll be hated by all nations for the sake of his name, for the sake of his gospel. Gospel went forth from Jerusalem. Hey, Rome came in 70 AD, sought to silence that absolute word in expectation of one who would expose all the unrighteousness of all the kings. Think about it. Kings wanted to silence that word because it means that they ever sought in their imperialist regimes an ambition and agendas to establish rule. Those who knew the truth would know that rule that they had sought to establish was injustice in some way, form, or fashion, till the Mashiach himself, the Messiah, one called Shiloh himself, shall come. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Rome despised automatically that expectation. Revelation 13 coalesces with Isaiah 49. It says the appearance of this one called Shiloh, the one of which whom the scriptures speak, would come having the name of the Most High from the body of his mother. Well, the scriptures actually declare that this is the one who the kings of the earth despise. Think about it. If all the nations, if Israel were ever... the descendants of Israel have been scattered, will be brought back to the will of one because of him. It means it's because this one must expose all the misrule of all the rulers. Scripture says he will not only bring Israel back, but be the salvation even of all nations, even unto the end of the world. That means deliverance of all beyond all the false rulerships that have divided this world. He said, I will lift my hand to the Gentiles. I will set my standard to the nations. Those who put their trust in him should not be ashamed. Meaning all who would trust otherwise shall be proven falling short of what is the acceptable will of Yah. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, concerning what I've said to you before, and I want to go through all this, that there's a reason why Revelation 16 speaks of the coming of the one called the King of the East, Messiah, even as the one called the King of the East. The one called the King of the East is the one who reflects what is written concerning the one called Shiloh at Genesis 49:10. Messiah said in Revelation 22:16, he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, that one that's called the King of the East. At Revelation 16:12-21. Well, there's a reason why in the appearance of the anointed one called the King of the East. You need to read Isaiah 44:20-45:6, and it talks about that one before the rivers, whom the rivers will be dried up. It says he is the anointed shepherd of the Most High. Yes, the word there means Messiah. He is the one, my brothers and sisters, who established Jerusalem, a place from whence the righteous law of the Most High should go forth to all the world upon a full and firm foundation. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that because this world has denied the expectation of one called the King of the East, missing the foundation, the founding expectation, that scripture should better have been translated to 49:10, that the expectation of one who will bear the scepter, the rule, shall not depart as an expectation concerning one who comes from between the feet of Judah, seed of Judah. The expectation of a lawgiver shall not cease. It's a command that should have always remained. Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. They should expect him as such. But many not discerning what that means have also lost that expectation that should have been, scripture says, should be taught in all the churches. If they haven't taught it, have they taught what can bring you out to perceive beyond the fallen standards of this world? The expectation of that lawgiver, the one who brings peace, one who brings rule, discipline to the world, even divine discipline unto peace, harmony, common sense of cooperation and love. Scripture says, in him should the gathering of all the people be. Well, guess what? The rulers really weren't greatly concerned, the idea of one who comes to expose all their rulership as foolish. All the kingdoms of the earth have rejected, I said have rejected, that expectation. You look in your history books and you'll hear that Rome considered Christianity an illegal religion. That's the way they translate it. An illegal religion until Constantine made it legal. One called Constantine the Great. One who dared to say, the very year he said, I am a Christian, also said, that same year, in striking a coin, said, I'm the son of Solus Invicti, the sun god. The same one, my brothers and sisters, who said, On his deathbed, I pray that whatever gods be God, they will grant me favor because I've granted their worship in my kingdom. It is evident that this one had no solvent concept of deity, and in many ways he was just seeking to cause men who worship the Holy One of Israel not to perceive him as such. But as a polytheist hypocrisy created at the hands of Rome to maintain all the diverse opinions of men. Scripture tells us that the salvation of this world, the peace of this world, is not after the conversation, not after the contradictions, not after the controversy. Look at it. Contradiction. Opposing words. Controversy. Opposing words. Of this world. Conversation. Opposing words of this world. Salvation of man is not after everybody voicing their irreverent opinions. The undisciplined opinions. Salvation of this world, man in agreement with his creator, repentant unto the will of his creator, comes by a gift of discretion the refining grace, gift, discretion of the Most High to discern beyond all the systems of this world that would create an amalgam of diverse ideologies, declaring them somehow wisdom in their vast indiscretion. The law, flaw, false rule of this world was unto the preservation of a multitude of contradictions, the divide and conquer tactic. The rulers control the masses, and the masses believe in themselves wise after whatever it is that they felt that they were allowed to do to exalt themselves, didn't realize how much they exalted also the godlessness, the lawlessness of their rulers. They might have license for lawless themselves. Same trick that was in the garden, following a lawless one. And men in their lawlessness feel that they still deserve and earn the prize. Nothing more wicked in terms of deceitfulness has there been than that trick. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, it's time we understand. There's a reason why Messiah calls himself the King of the East. Because the dictation of one called Shiloh, the King of the East, Shashan Shah. According to all the prophecies going all the way back to Genesis. The expectation of that one who exposes all the rulers has been the truth that all the rulerships of the earth have despised and have actually, in so many ways, ignored. Like I said, they call Christianity in your textbooks. They say, they will tell you it was an illegal religion until the coming of Constantine licensed it. I find it amazing they turn around still, even though they say that, they turn around and tell you the Roman Church was the first, brothers and sisters. The church did not begin after the mindset of Rome. In fact, Daniel 8 and 5 talks about a system out of the West, a false empire out of the West. Not the monotheist East, but the polytheist West that came against the Medo-Persian Empire. The scripture says will continue to deceive the masses until it seeks to stand up against the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings. And many texts relate that that system will be exposed, defeated easily. Read Daniel 8 and 5 to 25 and understand. What does this mean? It means that the polytheist licentiousness, this Western pluralism, was never true to the will of one and was always a counterfeit. I said was always a counterfeit. I look at these things, my brothers and sisters, and like I said before, there's a reason why Revelation talks about the appearance of the one called the King of the East. One who Isaiah 41 says comes suddenly, who was hidden from the minds of the people. In his appearing, he said the king should be made as dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Not just the kings, every foolish word they have spoken. It's the reason why the scriptures talk about that one called the King of the East. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, all that is a Brahmic religion that has control in this world. Men call it a Brahmic, but they forget something. And let me go ahead and say something else before I even say that. The early faith was not called Christianity by the early church. It was called Kurdishanya. The expectation of the one called King of the East, Kur, Sun, T.S., Rise, Shah, King, Kurdishanya. Messiah was called the Kurdi. In fact, my brothers and sisters, those who know the truth know that ancient tribal people oftentimes called those who upheld the wisdom of their tribe. They were called by titles that related them as progenitors, if you will, of the purity of the ideals of their tribe. So you might understand why, for instance, they called Nelson Mandela Madinka. Well, those who know the truth know that Abraham was in fact a Kurd, called the Kurdi. Abraham, my brothers and sisters, rose, and some texts even relate that he and Noah conferred. While Noah was waning, Abraham was arising. Abraham even having seen the rise and fall of Babylon's tower. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that Abraham was called to Kurdi. And all prophecy relates the idea about the expectation of Messiah, who, quite frankly, though the Romans, Greco-Romanism decided to call him a Christ, the term that would have been used was Mashiach, the Kurdi, amongst those who understood the truth. In fact, little children, 2,000 years ago, if you'd call, you'd spoken to the one called the Kurdi, they were known that was Shiloh. They would know that was the Shashan Shah, the King of Kings. They would have known, my brothers and sisters, this is the anointed one, as it is written in Isaiah 44 through 45. Common knowledge. But that term Kurdi, the name of the faith, Kurdishanya, which related the end of all false rule, the end of this Babylonish misruling earth. That was a concept, my brothers and sisters, that as long as it existed, certainly false rulers could not come in and take authority. And Rome knew that they had to put an end or silence that expectation if ever they were going to have full dominion in the East. They had to even, in so many ways, seek to destroy the idea about an anointed one. Because an anointed one, according to all scriptures, relate him as not only the anointed one, but the anointed messenger of the covenant. One who exposes all the false rule of all the priests, all the false rule of the rulers. I look at Islam, and those of you who would study these things deeply would find that the roots of Islam are many misconceits directly after the mind state of the Roman Catholic Church. However, even the Quran, it speaks about one called Zulqarnain, Dhul-Qarnain, who many scholars know was that one, my brothers and sisters, who was called the Kurdi, who came 2,600 years ago, and I say returned again 2,000 years ago, that said that in the last days he would come to finish all that from the beginning was prophesied concerning him. Yes, I know the Western world, for its reasons, has taken away from you the knowledge of what was well known in the East, and the one called Shiloh comes three times. The term Seosian is not one that is familiar to many today in the West. They didn't want to tell you this because you understood who Messiah said that he is as the King of the East. You know that the rulers from the West were very definitely deceivers, counterfeiters, not true to the faith of Yah. Well, as I said before, the prophecies relate that a counterfeit, having horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon, will be to the continual deceit of many. A murderous system that operated after all the murderous ideals that murdered so many millions of saints in the first four centuries will continue to have dominion in the earth until Messiah himself appears to expose entirely the pretense. 2 Thessalonians speaks of this, whereby false pastors, after the misconceits of the nations, would sit right there in the temples and the churches, pretending to be godly, blinding people that they did not discern their iniquities. Messiah will have to expose this pretense by a word of righteousness, that those who preferred unrighteousness and chose to believe lies, half-truth and lies, will be damned. There's a need to understand, my brothers and sisters. There's a need to understand, my brothers and sisters, what this means. Not only has, due to, let's just say, scattering among the nations, what is called traditional Judaism, forgotten who this one called the King of the East is. However, I tell you, there are those at Hebrew University that do know. It's not official doctrine, but many of them strongly suspect. So like I said, it's something said hush hush. What is called Christianity today has forgotten that expectation of the one called the King of the East. Who Yeshua said that he is. What I find trippy on top of everything else with regard to the nature of what is present-day Islam. Remember, Abraham had faith in the will of one. Trust in the perfect will of one. There could not be three great faiths as a result. Trust in what Abraham believed. I can only tell you that it's amazing to me that Jeremiah, really need to read all the way from the 48th to the 51st chapter. At the 11th and 28th verse, the 51st, talks about one called the King of the Medes. They put an S on that word kings again to throw you off. Need to read also Isaiah 13 about the fall of Babylon, all the confusion that's in this world after a multitude of diverse rulerships. Those scriptures talk about one called King of the Medes. The word for Medes is Mahdi. It could well be, my brothers and sisters, they have chosen to give this title Mahdi, Mohammedan idea. Because, like Rome, they wanted to silence the idea of a prophet who would corrupt all the rulers. So they call Muhammad the last prophet. And they talk about the coming of a Mahdi. The word there means Medes. Or let's just say the word they translated into Medes is Mahdi. Well, all the prophets are related, that one would be the deliverer of Israel. Is Islam truly delighted in that? I'd say the politics over the course of time, my brothers and sisters, have been such. Islam has ignored who all the ancient prophets said the Mahdi is. And they like the idea by talking about a last prophet, forgetting the idea that Messiah himself comes in the last days as the prophet. Inspired by the Spirit of the Most High for the remembrance of all those things that all the nations have forgotten. Why? Brothers and sisters, do you really think it is, as the scripture says, all these systems of the earth will fall when the truth returns? It's because they all, my brothers and sisters, have will be proven having neglected what was the faith of old. And I can only ask this question. If you discern or found the truth, that the prophecies all say, that all the kings, nations, and rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders of this earth would reject. If you find the truth, there's been conspiracy on the part of all the rulers to deny it. If you find that truth, that's necessary to make you whole. It's necessary to correct all injustice. If you found that truth, my brothers and sisters, would you, in discerning it, stand? All the prophecies tell us again and again, hear me, that all those who would turn and rebel against that truth will be cut off from the inheritance. Hebrews 10:26-31 says that if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice to be offered for his sin, because those who are truthful upon hearing the truth would adopt and obey it. There will be no inheritance, my brothers and sisters, for those who reject. We are commanded, as the command of the gospel, go forth and teach all nations, even teach all nations, they must remember, learn, and remember all things the Most High decreed by the power of the Spirit, that all recollecting by the Spirit the word of truth, shall all my brothers and sisters be able to perceive reality as one, even love and cooperate and obey the Most High as one. The question, my brothers and sisters, is how many of your rulers have sought to hide the truth from you so you never discern this eventuality that all will face in the judgment? That they comfort the people, even compel them to repent, but never unto the fullness of truth, and therefore never being true to the word from the beginning the Messiah said he is. Again, my brothers and sisters, I ask the question. How many have considered really what the scriptures mean when it says, be watchful, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man? Scriptures already tell you that the rulers won't be able to. When it says watchful, my brothers and sisters, it means seeking the Most High himself. Because the Son of Man will expose all the rulers. For having been treacherous against the truth of the faith. Because if you know that all the rulers will be found faulty, you would know to seek the Most High himself. And that's the reason why the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word from Yah. Blessed they will understand in this time. Like I said, I look at Islam. And I look at the idea that they believe in one called the Ul Qarnayn. They know who that is. But Islam chooses to ignore it. They know that's the one called Shiloh. The scripture says, come out of the tribe of Judah. Wow. Out of Judah for the deliverance of Israel. To him shall all the nations see. Amazing that Islam has been established upon this faulty foundation. Idea about Muhammad being the last prophet, as if there will be no prophet to correct whatever has gained territorial control among what has now become Islamic states. Some seeking to establish what they call a caliphate. I see a caliphate in so many ways, since you still have independent states, in so many ways, still independent states under a caliphate. I still see kind of like a United States of Islam, still not true to the will of one. Caliphate doesn't claim to be the Mahdi unto whom all should gather. Or do they? Sure, there's all kind of perceptions. Well, think about it. Islam talks about a Mahdi, and they forget what the prophecy said about the one called Mahdi. Islam talks about a last prophet, that there be none to reprove their rulers. Isn't that exactly what Rome wanted? Let me tell you something. Maybe you didn't know this, but one of the words that the Romans had for a Messiah, they called him a troublemaker. Well, hold on. This is a system of rulers that would keep people divided and conquered because they have no sense of absolute. But you're creating trouble by declaring what is absolute? Well, think about it. This society says the same because he talks about what he calls freedom of religion, freedom of speech, as if everybody's speaking their own opinion will bring forth peace with Yah. A society that always says there's going to be constant debate. A society that declares there will always be constant debate, my brothers and sisters, has already said in so many ways that it is innately flawed, but how many are willing to understand that? Like I said, I played this before. I want you to hear the words of one of your former presidents about this innately flawed system that cannot be true to the one who is one forever.
We have served America through one of the most consequential periods of our history, and it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate.
Always differences and debate. Did you hear that? Always differences and debate. Well, where then is the expectation of peace on earth with that? Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, as long as the expectation of a world reconciled after the will of one does not exist in the hearts and minds of men, and everybody has a different counterfeit representation of the one, while men believe in these partialities, my brothers and sisters, every single one of them incomplete and bound by unbelief in so many ways, according to Scripture, by definition, are damned. Because they say those who believe lies, prefer unrighteousness, less than the whole truth, are lost. Messiah comes to save, my brothers and sisters. In a world where all is sin and falling short of the glory, he does not say that men are delivered by continually functioning, falling short after the ways of a devil, deviant, but by man's conscience being raised again after the spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, and the remembrance of all that should never have been forgotten. In fact, the scriptures say that Messiah comes, that he will be a champion for those who return from transgression. How about every fallen standard? That indeed, this is his covenant. This is the peace. But his words, the words that he's put in the mouths of his people, how about even over the course of ages? Shall not depart from your mouths, shall not depart from the mouths of your descendants, nor your descendants' descendants, henceforth even forever. And when the Most High reveals again that light, the nation that will not walk according to that light shall perish. That's the covenant. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that most have not given consideration to these things? The scripture says, all the nations have drunk of the wine, the drunkenness of Babylon's wrath. All of them, my brothers and sisters, have been dissuaded against the path of reason by some man's contentious illusion. Revelation 13 talks about how when the early church was given the word of the gospel, that the beastly ways of the nations were wounded by the sword, the word of truth. But it talks about how that the beastly nations would make war against the saints and would overcome them. Messiah in Revelation 6, the Apostle Yohanan on the Isle of Patmos talked about, well, he laid it in Revelation 6 about the white horse rider. White horse rider is actually Messiah himself going forth to preach the gospel that conquers all the illusions of the nations. The red horse rider is the nations in retaliation to take away that gospel of peace, that one word of fullness and completion that would bring peace to the world, to take away that peace, to destroy the truth of that gospel. Black horse rider, the scales in his hand. The scriptures talk about, heard not the oil and the wine. That's famine for a word, because they began to murder off those who knew the truth. If you murder off those who know the truth, my brothers and sisters, well, there's a famine for a word, like you read in Amos 8, 11 through 12. Men going to and fro and can't find the word. Pale horse rider, my brothers and sisters, death and hell. And the scriptures in the fifth, under the fifth seal, talk about the saints who were beheaded for the sake of the testimony that they persevered and maintained. Saying, how long, O Yah, will you not avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? They were all given wide robes, showing that they had washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of repentance, repenting of all their sins and all their allegiances to all the false rule of this earth. Garments, a symbol of one's oftentimes allegiances, their upbringing, what nation of people they come from. But they wash themselves of all the allegiances of the earth to attain to a conscience beyond the entire world of misconceits. They're given white robes and say they shall rest for a little while till the remainder of their brethren should be killed also as they had been killed. You need to understand what the scriptures mean by that. It means when Messiah appears, he comes because all the world has fallen short of righteousness. So a righteousness must appear to show righteousness again. That's not what the rulers of this earth would have you to know. And the reason why they would have you not to know is so they can constantly exploit you, never knowing that you need to seek for what is greater. But there's reward of those who do. Faith comes by hearing, not men, but a word from Yah himself. And this is the gift of the Spirit, but how many pursue it? Pursue hearing from Yah to a dimension to which Yah himself be pleased. I'd like to read to you what the scriptures talk about in Revelation 13:9. It says, if any man has ears, let him hear. He who leads into captivity, how about he who leads men into captivity where under systems that will never speak the whole truth? He who leads into captivity should go into captivity. He murders with the sword. How about a false word? I said kills unjustly with a word of corruption. Must be killed when the true sword appears. Messiah comes according to Revelation 19, saying, out of my mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword with which he should smite the nations. How about smite them? Because for righteousness' sake, he judges and makes war. Only when one of the participants in the war, my brothers and sisters, is righteous, can the victory be unto true peace. He who kills with the sword, murders with the sword, will be killed with the sword. He is a patient. Remember the word for patient is expectation. Patient expectation. That is, if you will, then, the faith of the saints. The saints, those who are true unto Yah, believe that there will be an end of this confusion and bringing in all false rule. And that, my brothers and sisters, again, is the expectation of one called the Kurdi, the king of the east. Now, I beheld another wild beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke as a dragon. False religion, dividing the world, seems to be a way of peace. Messiah said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. None of the contradictions are in the way of his peace. Speak as a dragon that compel people to be prideful and mass illusions as if they were wise. They said all the power, same thing as the influence, the lies of the first murderous wild beast that hated the truth before and was performed by him. He caused the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first, if you will, murderous beast whose deadly wound, how about, was healed. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the gospel went forth and the nations of the earth under the pagan rulers of Rome quaked and trembled. And what they did, my brothers and sisters, they came and destroyed Jerusalem from whence the gospel was going forward and persecuted all those who believed the truth. The scripture says that wound was healed. The wound was healed, my brothers and sisters, when the wound of this deadly beast that refuses to reason. Was healed. Reason why many waking to the truth did not, if they began awakening the truth at all, didn't have strength to slay it, at least for a time, was because what came up was a counterfeit, men thinking what is unholy to yet be holy. The one called the King of the East, Shiloh, the one upon whom faith unto a world recovered, a world healed. That, my brothers and sisters, is the hidden key. The reason why Revelation talks about the one called the King of the East will come against all these false rulers of the earth. He will expose them all in their unrighteousness, according to all the prophets before and Revelation as well. Scripture talks about a city. It's an example of all the confusions of this world. It is, again, an example of all the confusions of the world entire. All the same place. Most High will send Messiah according to the prophecies. He sends Messiah to rebuke them all. Show them all where they have missed the point. Well, Scripture says when that city is destroyed to show a whole world the Most High means business, then all the city's social coalescences, political, governing, national, social, cultural, miscreant ideals of this world will fall. Cities of the Nations Bill. I can only say this, my brothers and sisters, in preparation for what will decide whether men fall with this wicked system or survive unto the age to come is related, and the key work that you will find, much of it is related on my website, things that I've been seeing in the archives in this show. There's an article there called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. I promise that you need it. There's an article there called The Secret City Prophecies. I promise that none of these things should be missed. Article there called The Gospel of Shiloh, Tribulation 70 to 365 A.D. All these things written there for your examination. I repeat again. Scripture says the obligation in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which he has revealed are an obligation that we preserve them and keep them forever. Never to forget. Scripture says in the last days after being scattered among the nations, under the curse of being scattered, divisions scattered among the nations, on a multitude of provocations, says all these things will be brought to remembrance. That's the eventuality. That's the expectation. That's that for which men should be waiting, seeking after, preparing for. Scripture says all these things be brought to remembrance. Well, I can only say again what I said on last evening's show. If you found the truth, my brothers and sisters, that all the rulers of this earth have conspired against under the damnation of so many souls, contentious after the misrule of many. If you found that truth, would you be true to the Spirit of the Most High, or would you cater to the damning, undisciplined, beastly misconceptions of the flesh? Would you, in discerning the greater righteousness of Yah, grow in it under righteousness? You might be an example that would be a blessing to many, as Abraham was. Or will you ask the children of another seek to uphold corruptions and lies that could only destroy? Which will you do? Scripture says it's the obligation upon finding the truth to walk in the truth. And if not, there's no atonement for the soul. But the only atonement and forgiveness that is granted to man is in finding the truth and being obedient to it. Or dare men say that they have oneness with the Most High while they preserve ignorance, deceit, and denial. Trust me, my brothers and sisters, when I tell you that all humanity is soon to be held accountable as to whether their words were true to what Yah has declared eternal from the beginning, or some misconceit that men have sought to establish as wise and unrighteousness thereafter. So I thank the Most High for the opportunity to say these things to you. That's the purpose for which the Most High told me that I exist. Even my brothers and sisters, to relate what is the cause of all those who will be faithful to him. Check out that website of mine, my brothers and sisters, in those articles, and you'll be very, very blessed and wise. And to be counted among those who support this ministry. You need to let people know. Yes, you do. That these kind of words that are the missing links finally are being told again in the earth. So I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. I say to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, giving thanks for all those, my brothers and sisters, whom he will give courage and strength to stand up for what is real. And until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, again, to the might, honor, and praise, the Most High, thankful for every ear that he brings near, thanking you for your listening. I say hallelujah.